listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, working on getting Levin Reed, WBZ, in Boston. We'll continue to look at the NFL in week number four. As I said, the Jets and the Giants picked up their first wins of the season, both in overtime. I live in Nashville. I watched a lot of that Titans-Jets game. I normally have it on Red Zone and kind of bounce around the league a little bit. But I was a little bit fascinated with this. I didn't think the Titans were vulnerable in this game, and yet they were. And then as the game was progressing, they really did look it. They didn't have A.J. Brown. They didn't have Julio Jones. Both are dealing with hamstring injuries. But the Jets really, like, they didn't really look good enough this season to beat one of the better AFC teams, right? Like, we know, you know, bad teams can beat good teams in the NFL. Happens way too often. I didn't think that was the case. And as this game was progressing, I kept going, I think the Titans are going to lose. I think the Titans are really, really going to lose. And Zach Wilson threw two really good balls that I just was so impressed with. The Giants went to the Superdome. They beat the Saints 27-24. Saquon Barkley won it in overtime. First possession, they score a touchdown, they win the game. Giants, again, had one of those games where Daniel Jones played really well. But this time they won. My biggest criticism of Daniel Jones was so many people would point to his statistics and go, well, look, he's got pretty good stats, but the Giants would find a way to lose. Like, he never could take the team to that next place. 402 yards passing and two touchdowns. And the Giants get a victory. And it's not just a victory. I mean, this is a Saints team that we still are kind of on the fence with. Jameis Winston, when he plays well, they win. When he doesn't, they lose. He didn't have any turnovers in this game, and yet the Giants found a way to win this one. But I thought the Giants were dead in the water when this game was going to New Orleans, and the Saints, this was their home opener, essentially, by playing at the Superdome. I mean, that place is loud, raucous. That fan base is for real. And I thought, you know, you dealt with another hurricane, not as, you know, devastating as Hurricane Katrina, where you almost lost the team to San Antonio in a relocation. But there was a period of time where the area needed to be rebuilt. Everything needed to be taken care of. The Saints left. They worked out in Dallas. They've been on the road. They opened up the season at, you know, home game in Jacksonville against Green Bay. And then won, you know, played at Carolina, won in New England. And then finally they returned home. You'd think there was an emotional lift from this, that there would be, like we saw when they, you know, opened up the Superdome back on that Monday night against, the Falcons, where, you know, they had just this electric crowd. The Giants overcame that. And again, it goes to show you, again, we like to bury the bad teams. We like to kind of put them in their place. And that's true. And, it, you know, hey, look, if you're 0-4, there is some scrutiny. But this has always been, and it has been my whole life, a dangerous league when it comes to those, like, survivor pools or whatever. Because you really don't know where teams are going and where teams are heading. Yes, it's easy to pick the Bills versus the Texans, but I didn't have the Jets beating Tennessee. Tennessee was rolling into that game. They were not only were rolling, they reminded me of what the Packers were doing. Lose that first game, don't look good doing it, figure some things out, go back to the drawing board. Bam, we got victories over Seattle and Indianapolis. And the Jets were swimming at 0-3 with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach and didn't look like they were, you know, look what they did against the Broncos where they didn't do anything at all. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a game where this team is in it. They've got a young quarterback who's confident, and they go on and win the game. And likewise, the Giants put together a decent game enough to beat the Saints, and they both of those teams getting their first victory. I think, to me, the game that stood out to me was Arizona against the Rams. Now, there are outcomes in the NFL that shouldn't really surprise us. And this happens a lot where it happens in college football more, but it happens in the NFL too, where you get a game where you think, all right, it's going to go in this direction, and then it doesn't, and then you have people go, well, we should have seen this all along. And then you go, well, why? Why should I have seen this all along? Like, oh, well, here's what we're doing. That's not this game. I didn't see that coming. Patriots and Buccaneers, Sunday night. What an electric atmosphere. WBZ's Levin Reed. We told him we'd get him on Monday. We bring him on Monday. How are you, my friend?
I'm so sorry. I tried to get my phone. It's 9:40. I've been on my phone all day. I was supposed to be on a couple of minutes ago. My phone overheated when you called. So, it's, you know, I felt like smashing it, but then I couldn't call you, Chief.
Oh,
so.
That's all right, brother. That's all right. Okay. Listen, the atmosphere leading up to the game, before we get to the actual game itself, we were talking this morning. For Brady, you know, Super Bowls, AFC Championship games, first start, all the things that you go through where it's a first, I can't think of anything that would have replicated what he went through last night.
Not even close. And by the way, it didn't happen just last night. You have to remember, the Kennedy security was horrible. There was 1,000 people at the Omni in Providence when he got off the bus. You know, to say hello, and he's waving to them. I thought there were people in the hangar at the airport he landed, because they showed him taking pictures and everything like that. So he gets off, he comes onto the field, and they cheer him incessantly. He runs to the opposite side, does his fifth. And this is a very big thing for the game, by the way, because they do everything they wanted to do before the game. So they, and he's pumped, his eyes are big. The pass goes 3 and out or 4 and out, whatever they do. He comes onto the field, and they boo the Tampa Bay team. As you saw that first set of downs, he is so lit up that everything is high as if he's throwing it into the stands. And I thought for the game itself, how the fans approached the game, where they could have cheered Brady all the way through and hated Bill Belichick, but they cheered Brady all the way through and rooted for their Patriots team. I thought that was awesome.
In terms of Brady's performance, did you feel, just by watching him, Did you feel like he was pressing? Did you feel like there was a different way the emotions got to him that we normally didn't see him when he was in the Patriots uniform?
Maybe a little bit, but I think you and I talked about it. What was Bill Belichick going to do? Well, he was going to do what Rex Ryan and everybody else does. I'm going to muddy the middle of the field and force you, your emotions. You want to pass the ball around the park. I'm going to force you emotionally to say, you know what? Hand the ball off. Hand the ball off. And I'm going to test you. Hand the ball. I'm going to give you all this run. In fact, and to a point where you saw in the third quarter, not only did they do the run with Leonard Fournette, but the whole offensive line was just bullying the pass down the field. You know, they didn't even care. So I think that was one of the things that played into it. And I'm sure Joe Brady, when the halftime year's at 7-6, you're like, man, he's probably like, man, they're really doing the business that I hear other quarterbacks say when they come here. Happened. He's like, it just started to rain. It was supposed to rain in like fourth quarter. It rained at the beginning of the game. Why is the weather here so terrible? I live in Tampa now. I'm not used to it. This is awful. You know, so, and I think even for you, you're watching the game. At the end of the game, you're like, I kind of want the Patriots to win this one.
Yeah. I'm with you. I saw that. I felt that same feeling. Like, I just was like, found myself rooting for them.
Yeah. And that's what I think Brady felt too. He's like, man, I can see why. Because they're scrapping. They're doing everything they can with as little as they have. And you're thinking, that's what the fans were thinking. The fans were like, okay, Brady, you know what? We gave you your flowers. We gave you a video tribute. You're the best ever. By the way, we want our team to win. We can't go 1-3.
Right.
Let's just move this along.
So the overall big picture here is, and this is going to sound like a very simplistic question, but there's so many elements attached to it. Now that this is over and what did the Patriots get from this? Because Mac Jones had a good performance. It is a 1-3. Nobody overshined the other guy. Overall, what did the Patriots get out of this game?
I will tell you, you're not going to know until next week, and I'm going to tell you why. I've covered the Patriots for years when they were champions. And for some reason, they would play like Cincinnati. They play Jacksonville. They play the Jets. And Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and the Jets would give the Patriots their best game because what? Because they were the champs.
Right.
They came in as the champs. So, and then the next week, everybody would put their money on Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and just be like, oh, they turned everything around, and they'd lose. They get blown out by Detroit. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, the next week when you play Houston, it's easy to get pumped up when Tom Brady and the champs come to town. Can you get pumped up going to Houston and beat the Texans? And can you replicate that type of energy, that type of execution, and that type of intensity that you had on Sunday night onto Sunday afternoon? Because that's what you need to do to be a better team.
Mac Jones, I can't imagine a more unenviable position to be in than that kid, seeing everything around him. But at the same time, he was coached by Nick Saban. He played at Alabama. Yeah. That's a high-pressure place. I wonder what he was going through, because that was a nice performance last night amongst everything else around him that had nothing to do with him.
Listen, it wasn't Alabama-Auburn. Like, he didn't get threatened his life.
Right, you know, right.
You know, it wasn't the Iron Bowl, so he's been there. Okay, so he may be built for this because of, like you just said, being in the environment in Alabama, you know what that's like. You know how hard it is to play there. You know, guys are sitting on the depth chart. Maybe they're only going to play their senior year, but by the way, they're going to go in the first round. So that's what happens there. I think for him, as the players said after the game, Devin McCourty said he's not a rookie anymore. He's one of us. He's it. And you listen, we're four games in, and I know your football. How many times did you go, man, this guy's just getting up hit after hit? It's like Rocky out there. It's like Clubber Lang is taking him down. He's just running to the sideline. Like, we're all good. Because I think we spoke, and I thought the offensive line would be much better than that. And it is not. To a point where Lavonte David made two of the best plays in the game on that last drive, where, if you mentioned, he puts up his left hand on a pass and to make it, it was like third and six, and they hit Jacoby Myers, and Jacoby Myers makes it like third and fourth and three on the play before that, and then he puts up his right hand because he's like, well, he has no pressure, so everything's got to be a darted pass. It's got to be quick, and then he makes the block. So, I mean, he's got no time, and he's making the most of what he has. He's taking a lot of hits, but we've seen him grow through game. This game plan they put together today should be the game plan, or yesterday, should be the game plan that he was going forward.
Yeah, I agree completely. Fourth and three, should they have gone for it? 56 yards is a lot in the rain.
Yeah, but they only had two first downs that they completed the whole game, So go for it. It is a lot in the rain. Nick Folk, though, let me tell you what. He may have been their MVP. He's the only one putting points on the board, to be honest with you.
Right.
So, like, you put your all your trust in him. And, I mean, he hit a 58 and a 60-yarder in pregame at the same direction. I think if they were going to the open end, they probably would have said no. But they were not going to the open end. They were going to the closed end. And I think, it just pushed. What are you going to do? By the way, that's 54 yards. That's through.
That's true. You know, you're right. Absolutely.
Instead of fourth and three, if it's fourth and one instead of fourth and three, that's through. So it just pushed. There's nothing you can do about it. That's how it is. And by the way, how many other teams have come in here in New England and seen the exact same thing happen?
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the other part of it. Overall, though, like outside of the Patriots losing, I liked this game as a neutral observer. I liked this game because Brady didn't throw five touchdowns in a route, and Belichick didn't sack him 10 times and intercept him 4 times. I felt like each one had moments against each other, but neither one shined against the other.
I thought this was great for the fans, this game. I thought this game explained that for the first 10 years, Belichick carried Brady, and for the last 10 years, Brady carried Belichick, and you got to see an equal game. And that's what they do. They both were able. Put it this way: if I came away from this game, I can tell you one thing. If I'm Bruce Arians, I'm like, God, I didn't coach well at all. Oh my God, I got to coach like a big dog out here. Jeez, if I'm Bruce Arians, you have the better team. And by the way, maybe you watch more Tampa than I do. I can tell you just from watching it, Brady does not like throwing to Mike Evans.
No.
I don't know what's going on there.
I agree completely. We've heard that before. Yeah.
He doesn't like throwing to him at all. There's something about that style of player that he does not like. And it was very evident. He was not, the passes were a little bit off. Mike Evans is not really good on the back shoulder like Chris Godwin is. They might as well just put the kid Ty Johnson out there and let that roll because he does not like throwing to Mike Evans at all.
Levin, always good catching up with you. Thank you so much. We will catch up with you again soon, my friend. Thank you as always.
Thank you for your patience. And next time I'll make sure that I shut my phone down and before I come back on. Not a problem.
You're the best. I love you, man. Appreciate it. Levin Reed, WBZ in Boston, joining us. Give us a little perspective last night. It's good points. Again, that you look at all the regular season matchups that you'll have this year. Yeah, there'll be games where, because of records, right? Oh, it's a great matchup, right? This team's got one loss. This team's got no loss, whatever it may be. And that will happen down the line. But you won't find another one where right before the season started, it was circled on the calendar. And it sort of did live up with all the elements to it. It really did live up to what we kind of thought. Again, as I said earlier, it comes down to a field goal. Neither one of these teams killed the other team. It was close. Brady had his moments. Belichick had his moments. And in the end, both were emotional about the whole reunion and everything. All right. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.